So let me pray, then we'll jump into God's word. Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for what you're doing in this church. Thank you for the opportunities you're giving us. We think of the Irma Fennell Dream Center and the doors that you're opening down there. Father, thank you for that. It is amazing to see how you're opening the doors in Mexico. We pray for Tom as he heads back this week to begin his ministry there alone. Father, I just pray that you will comfort him as he goes down, as he starts this ministry, living a new way of living, a new way of life. Father, may you comfort him. Thank you for the call that is on his life, that he feels so strongly to go back there. I pray you will bless him in these days. Father, thank you for our Centennial Park campus that is opening the end of August. We pray as the well wraps up that you will be with them. And then as they join us in August for church here, and then as we go out together to the new campus at the end of August, God, I just pray that you will just use us to make a kingdom difference in this city. And that all starts with our own lives. And so, God, as we wrap up this series this morning, as we look at our lives and the foundation that we're building our lives on, God, I pray you will speak to each one of us here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you know my son, my oldest son, Eric. He lives in Calgary. He's studying civil engineering right now. But before he did that, he was an apprentice carpenter, did his four-year apprenticeship. And part of that time, he spent in Grand Prairie working for a construction company in Grand Prairie. And his job with this construction company was to put in the foundations for the homes they were building. And I remember when I was visiting with him one time in Grand Prairie, he was going around. He was showing me these homes, and he's showing the foundation they were putting in, how they were putting it in, how they had to put it in a special way because of the cold and all that. And he said to me, "Dad, you got to realize that if you're going to build a house, the foundation is what's all important." And that's so true. When you're building a house, the foundation really matters. And when you're building a life, the foundation on which you build your life really matters. And as we wrap up, as Jesus came to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, there he is on a hillside, this large crowd listening to him teach these amazing truths. As he closes out the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus puts that exact challenge to his hearers and to us today. What are you building your life on? What foundation are you building your life on? Hear the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. "Therefore, everyone, not just the people back then, people today too. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." To close out the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells the story of two men, and you'll notice that both men shared the same desire. They wanted to build a house, and most likely the houses they built looked exactly the same. The difference was in their foundations. The wise man built his house on a foundation of rock. He took the time to dig down to bedrock, and he built his foundation on that bedrock. The foolish man, on the other hand, built his house on a foundation of sand. Now, it's obvious that the houses were metaphors for each man's life. I mean, look again at verse 24 and 26. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like." Notice here that Jesus is talking to this crowd. This is a crowd that is interested in him. It would be similar today as to say that Jesus was talking to a church-going crowd. Both men were part of a faith community. Both men had heard these words of mine, Jesus says. Both men had heard Jesus speak truth. They'd heard the truth. The difference was this. One man heard the words of Jesus but didn't live them out. The other man not only heard the words of Jesus, he obeyed the words of Jesus. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? He's dividing that crowd that heard him on that hillside into two. And he's saying, some of you will hear my words, but you will decide not to obey them. You will decide that you're going to build your life on a foundation of sand. And he says, and others of you, you'll hear my words and you'll obey my words. In other words, you'll decide to build your house on a foundation of rock. And I would suggest that Jesus is saying the exact same thing to us today. He's saying, some of you here in this congregation, you're going to choose to hear my words, but not obey them. You're going to choose to build your foundation of your life on sand. And he's saying, but others of you in this congregation are going to both hear my words and live out or obey my words. You're going to build your lives on a foundation of rock. Now, it can be hard to tell who's who, can it? It can be really hard to tell who's building their house or their life on a foundation of rock and who's building their house or their life on a foundation of sand. I mean, just like the houses that the men built look the same, churchgoers often look the same. You all look the same, basically. I mean, you all sing the same songs. You all hear the same truth. You all join small groups. You all came to church this morning. And yet, some of you will hear and obey, and some of you will just hear and not obey. But here's what Jesus says. Jesus says right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, listen, it's not enough just to hear the word. You also need to apply it. Look at what James says. James says in James chapter 1, and remember, it's a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you are only fooling yourself. In other words, Jesus is saying it's not just enough to know. Listen, you can study the Bible long and hard. You can discuss what the Bible says forever. And yes, unless you actually apply it to your life, Jesus says it's all in vain. Have you ever met someone who's full of Bible knowledge? Their head's just stuffed full of Bible knowledge, but they're not applying it. Have you ever met anybody like that? Paul said in 1 Corinthians, knowledge puffs up. And people that have heads full of knowledge but aren't applying it are puffed up people. Have you ever met people like that? They drive me nuts. You want to take a pin and pop them, right? Jesus says here, it's not enough just to hear the word. Jesus says, unless you actually apply it to your life, it's all in vain. You're just building your life on a foundation of sand. And notice, Jesus calls the first man a wise man. He calls the second man a fool. And what's interesting is, though, the wise person all through the Bible is a person who has the ability to hear divine truth and apply it to their life. The fool in the Bible is not a person who lacks information. Rather, it's a person who does little or nothing with the information they've received. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you living as a fool? Or are you living as a wise person? Each of us has a choice. Each of us has a choice how we're going to live. Listen, every single one of us sitting here today has a choice. You can either hear the words of Jesus and then build your life on some other foundation, and some of you are choosing to do that, or we can hear the words of Jesus and obey the words of Jesus and choose to build your life on the solid rock of Jesus. And that decision has great consequences. Think for a minute. Honest with yourself. What are you building your life on? What is the foundation of your life? What is the foundation of your marriage, if you're married? What is the foundation of your parenting? What is the foundation of your financial decisions? What is the foundation of how you live day to day? What is the foundation of your life? The decision to just hear the words of Jesus, and all of you are hearing it this morning, unless you're sleeping right now, you're all hearing it, and not do them. Jesus says, when you choose to not do that, you're building a house on a foundation of sand. Jesus says, but when you hear them and do them, you're building your foundation on a solid rock. And that decision on what you'll build your life has major consequences, because you notice storms came. The storms of life are inevitable. Let's go back to the story and read verse 25 and 27. The rain came down, the streams rose, the house blew and beat against the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had a foundation of rock. The rain came and the streams rose and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You notice that the description of the storm was precisely the same. Both men were subject to the same storms. And the two men experienced, or their houses experienced, different results. Do you notice that? When the storm battered both houses, the fundamental difference of those houses was revealed. The house built on the solid foundation withstood the storm, but the house built on sand collapsed. And again, if you had driven by both men's houses, you would have said, nice houses. You would not have seen the difference. The only time you would have noticed the difference was during and after the storm. And here's the deal. Everyone's going to experience storms in life. No one's immune. All of us will face the storms in life. In fact, Jesus said that. John 16, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. All of us will face storms. At some point, a storm is coming. Your career crashes. You get fired from your job. You have a rebellious child. Your marriage blows apart. There's a financial collapse. An addiction runs amok in your family system. You have a car accident. Your child gets sick. You have a death of a loved one. You get bad news from the doctor, on and on and on. A storm is coming. And how you endure that storm depends on your foundation. And here's the really good news. The storms of life don't have to destroy you. Stormy circumstances do not make or break you. Do you know that? Stormy circumstances do not make or break you. They just reveal what you've been building your life on. They reveal what your foundation is. If you want a life that can weather any storm, then what you need to do is you need to build your life on the foundation of both hearing and doing the words of Jesus. You need to build your life on the solid rock. And if you do that, no storm can decimate you, because no storm is more powerful than the God we serve. Do you believe that? No storm is more powerful than the God you serve. And I've got a great example of that. It's this family right here. It's the Card family. For the last 2 and a bit years, I've journeyed with them through storms. First, they lost their daughter at 28 years old to cancer. That's a storm no family, no parent wants to go through. And yet, Tom and Sue, as they went through this storm, they grieved deeply, and yet they had a solid foundation. Because they had that solid foundation, they knew that no storm was greater than their God. And God sustained them and brought them through that storm. And then you know the story of the last few months. Sue got sick with cancer. Sue passed into the Lord's presence. And I spent lots of time with Tom. And Tom is grieving deeply, and we need to continue to pray for him. And yet, he is absolutely assured of God's presence in his life. Why? Because he's built his life on the solid rock. He has a solid foundation. And because of that, even in these moments of terrible grief, he is able to know that God is greater than his circumstances. His house, his life is not going to collapse because he's built his life on the solid rock. And when you build your life on the solid rock, no storm can take you out. Listen to what Psalm 18:2 says. It says this: "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my Savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the strength of my salvation, and my stronghold." Psalm 62:6 says, "He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will not be shaken." When you build your life on that foundation, you can sustain any storm. Now, here's something really important to remember. Your foundation must be formed before the storm comes. One of the things my son taught me was this: you can't pour a foundation in bad weather. You can pour a foundation before it rains. You can pour a foundation after it rains, but you cannot pour a foundation while it's raining. You cannot pour a foundation while the storm is happening. And so, folks, our foundation for life needs to be solidified before the storm comes. If the Card family have not solidified their foundation before the storm came, they would have been decimated. And so let me ask you again, what foundation are you building your life on? It matters. It matters because it matters on how you live day to day, but even beyond that, it matters when the storms come, and it matters to the next generations. See, we often forget this, but the foundation you build your life on not only impacts your life, it also impacts the lives of those who follow in your footsteps. The foundation you're building your life on impacts your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. You are not just building a foundation for your own life. You are building a foundation for future generations, and we often forget that in our individualistic world. And so as we close out this series on the Sermon on the Mount, I want to tell you a story that I told you some years ago now. I call it A Tale of Three Chairs. And it's about people that are sitting in each of these chairs. We'll call this chair one, chair two, and chair three. And the person that sits in this first chair, they're the people that are walking humbly with Jesus. Their relationship with Jesus is real. It goes beyond Sunday. They are building their lives on the foundation of both hearing the word of Jesus and doing the words of Jesus. They're desiring to be people who both do and hear. They are building their lives on the solid rock. The foundation of their life is their walk with Jesus. The foundation of their life is Jesus. The person that sits in this first chair, they're walking with Jesus. He's their everything. They're walking with him. That's their foundation in life, is Jesus. Then there's the second chair. While the first chair both hears the words of Jesus and does the words of Jesus, people sitting in the second chair, they know about Jesus. They've heard it all. They've listened, they've studied, they've heard the words of Jesus until their minds are stuffed with his teaching. And they know they ought to live out the teachings of Jesus, but they've chosen not to do so. They've chosen to build their lives on a foundation of hearing but not doing. And listen, churches all over North America, including this church, are filled with people who have heard the truth but are building their lives on foundations of career and stuff and money and relationships and self. They look religious, they hear the words of Jesus, but they're not doing them. Their foundation is their stuff. Their foundation is their career. Their foundation is their money. Their foundation is their relationships. Their foundation is their family. Their foundation is themselves. And you may say, well, how do I know whether I'm building a relationship, a foundation based on first chair or second chair? And I would say to you, most people know. If I was to go to you and you were gut level honest with me, you would say, I'm sitting in the first chair, or you'd say, no, I'm sitting in the second chair. But let me give you a couple of things that I've observed over my years of pastoring that are helpful in determining whether you're sitting in the first or second chair. I'll give you four things. Number one, what's your prayer life like? Prayer life? What's my prayer life? Well, prayer life? I never talk to God. You're sitting in the second chair. Second thing, where do you spend your money? How do you view money? If you go, it's my money, I give a little bit to Jesus, but it's my money, you're sitting in the second chair. You're sitting in the second chair. People in the first chair go, everything I have, God's given to me, and I steward it for his honor and glory. And so my first question is, how does Jesus want me to spend my money? That's first chair. Second chair is, it's mine. I give a little bit to Jesus, but it's mine. Here's another one. If you think about retirement or you're retiring, what is your life focus around? I've noticed when people retire that are sitting in the second chair, you hear a lot about themselves. Now life's about me. Now life's about me and my wife. Now I'm going to, and it's all going to be about me traveling or me doing this or me. Where's your foundation? Your foundation is on yourself. You're sitting in the second chair. Here's another one. Parents, it's a good test for you. How important is bringing your family to church? Because today what's happening is church is one option among many's on a Sunday morning, and for many people, it's a lower option than many other things. And that'll tell me right away, if you're choosing constantly other things over bringing your family to church, you're firmly sitting in this chair right here. You're in the second chair. I have never met anybody that's on fire for Jesus sitting in the first chair that doesn't make church attendance for their family a priority. Haven't met them. Maybe they're there. I haven't met them. 26 years. I meet people that sit in the first chair that sometimes aren't at church or on a Sunday because they're doing something with their family that's important, but it's the exception, not the rule. Parents who sit in the second chair, they say to their family, yeah, well, we haven't got anything on this morning. Let's go to church. That's a second chair parent. So what chair are you sitting in, first or second? Now, here's the deal. It's hard for the average person to tell the difference between someone that's sitting in the first chair and someone that's sitting in the second chair because by outward appearances, you all look the same. I look at you this morning, and you all look good. But I know there's a whole bunch of you here this morning that are sitting right here firmly in the second chair. You're not sitting in the first chair, but it's hard to tell the difference because you came to church. You sung the songs. You dressed nicely. You may even be praying at some point, but it's not real. It's not real. And while the average person may not be able to tell the difference, here's the deal. Kids of second chair parents, they look at their parents and this is what they say. They say, hypocrite, I want no part of it. And they go sit here in this third chair. And the third chair is for people that are sitting in the third chair. They don't know Jesus. People sitting in the third chair, they're far from God. And unfortunately, this chair is filled with young adults and teenagers who sense that Jesus wasn't very real or important to their parents. So they came and they sat in the third chair. And that should break our hearts. Because all over North America today, you read any stat, there teenagers and young adults are leaving the church over North America at record rates. You just all over North America, teenagers, young adults are dropping out of church. They graduate, get into university, and they stop going to church. And why is that? Some people would say, well, the church isn't relevant, the church isn't, and there's probably a little bit of truth to that. On the other hand, I would say the primary reason that we've got kids sitting in the third chair all over North America and leaving the church is because we've got a whole ton of people sitting in the second chair. So let me ask you this morning, folks, what chair are you in? Honestly, gut level with yourself, what chair are you in? Are you sitting in chair one? You're going, my foundation is Jesus. I know the word. I do the word. My foundation is Jesus. Not saying you got to be perfect by any means. None of us are perfect. But that's my life. If you cut and you look at my foundation, it's Jesus. You can see it in the way I live my life. You can see it in the way I spend my money. It's Jesus. Or you're sitting in the second chair. I hear the word. I come every Sunday. I hear the word, or I come lots of Sundays, but, you know, I don't do them. I'm building my life on a foundation that's something other than Jesus. And you know whether you're doing that or not. I don't have to point that out. Or maybe you're sitting in this chair this morning. You're going, I'm far from God. I'm far from God. And if you're far from God and you're here, we're glad you're here this morning. We hope you keep coming back. And I hope that you move eventually from the third chair into the first chair. But here's what I want you to understand this morning. Whatever chair you're sitting in influences everyone around you. It influences your family now. It influences your friends. It influences your workplace. Influences your neighborhood. Influences the future generations. It matters. And here's something that you need to hear. You cannot leave a legacy of first chair faith if you're sitting in the second chair. You can't do it. You can't sit in the second chair and expect to leave a legacy of first chair faith. If you want to leave a legacy of first chair faith, you got to get your butt out of the second chair and into the first chair. Otherwise, what you're going to do is not leave a legacy of second chair faith. You're going to leave a legacy of third chair faith. And this should matter. This should really matter. We're talking about our future generations. And we're talking right now all over North America, teenagers and young adults looking up at their parents and going, Jesus isn't real to you. You play a good game. You go to church. You look right. You speak right. But you know, you hypocrite, it isn't right because I know that's not what you built the foundation of your life on. I'm going to sit in the third chair. And folks, that should break our hearts and it should drive us to our knees. And parents, we should go, wow. That's what's happening in my life. I got to do something. I got to change something. I got to do something. So what chair are you sitting in? What chair do you want to sit in? How are you going to change? Here's the good news. You can change. Here's the really good news. If you're sitting in this chair, then you're far from God. Jesus wants to break into your life in a spectacular way. Jesus wants to come into your life. He wants to change your life, and he wants to move you over here to the first chair where you build a foundation on hearing and doing the words of Jesus, where you build a foundation on having him as your solid rock. So when the storms come, you endure so that the future generations look up and say, my mom, my dad, my grandma, my grandpa, they not only talked it, they lived it. They loved God and they loved others. So you can make that chair switch from the third chair, and you can switch from this chair to this chair. You're sitting here, and there's lots of you this morning. You know you're sitting right here. If I looked at your foundation, I would say the two greatest foundations in this church of people that are sitting in the second chair is themselves and their money. Undoubtedly, it's self and money. Life's about me, it's all about me, or life's about my money. That's the foundations people in this church are building their lives on, and it's not good. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for the future generations. You need to get your butt out of that chair and you need to get it over here. And Jesus wants you to move. And it's never too late. Let me say to you, maybe you've been living in the second chair and you're starting to leave, or you've left a third chair. You got a bunch of kids are in the third chair because you've been second chair. Listen, you move to the first chair, they're going to notice. They're going to notice. It's going to make a difference. And you can get to the first chair by just, right now, when we take communion, you just do business with Jesus. You get wholeheartedly committed to him. And then you walk out these doors. You say, Spirit of God, you empower me to both hear and do your words. I'm done with creating a foundation that's not the foundation you want me to have. It's time to change. What foundation do you want to live your life by? Some of you this morning are going, I don't care what you say. I'm staying in the second chair. Fine, don't whine to me when your kids go to the third chair. I don't want to hear it. Because I'm calling you to move to the first chair. what chair are you going to sit in? We're going to take communion. We're going to take the cup. We're going to take the bread. And Jesus came, died on the cross, wherever the cross is, over there, died on the cross for us, for humanity, to restore all things. And one day there's going to be a new heaven, new earth. It's going to be awesome. But the call of the cross is for us to sit in the first chair and to love Jesus and to love others in response to the table, the greatest love ever shown. And Jesus wants to come into your life and empower you to do that. Get out of the second chair. Get out of the second chair. Be real. Yeah, I'm going to say something that's going to get me in trouble. If you're a second chair person and you're playing a game, stop playing the game. Stop playing the game. If you just come to church to make people happier, to look good, stop coming to church. Because you're just doing the name of Jesus a disservice. It's better to just own up and say, you know, I don't believe this stuff. I'm just going to go live in the third chair. Because then at least Jesus can do something with your life. He can work in your heart. Get in the first chair. The second chair is a terrible place to sit. Because it does disservice to the great God we serve, the God who sacrificed all for us. Take your pick. What chair are you sitting in? What chair do you want to sit in? What are you going to do about it? As we take communion, some of you need to get right with Jesus. You're not building your foundation on the right stuff. And it's time to make the switch. I'm going to pray. We're going to take the bread. If you are here this morning and you're visiting with us and you're a follower of Jesus, feel free. We give out the bread. We take it all at once. We give out the cup. We take it all at once. Let me pray. Father, this morning, your word to end the Sermon on the Mount is a hard one for us to hear, but one we need to hear because it gets through all the temporary stuff, gets right down to the issue of the foundation. Father, there are lots of people that are playing church here. They're not walking with you. They're coming in, they look nice and churchy, and they go home and they build their lives on a foundation of sand. They build their lives on a foundation of money or a foundation of something other than you. And Jesus, we need to hear your word this morning when you say that is all in vain, both now and into eternity. And I don't know what everyone else thinks in this room, but I think there's no greater gift that we can give to the next generations than a foundation of you. And so, God, as we take your bread, as we remember your sacrifice, I just pray that you will do something in the lives of folks in this room today, that you will call us to be first chair people. There are people here that are in the third chair. They need to commit their lives to you and get into that first chair. There are people in the second chair that just pretend they're religious on Sundays, but it's all about them. Their money's all about them. Jesus, you just say, get it right and move to the first chair. And so, God, this morning, as we take communion, may you work in a massive way in this room. Amen.